Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality and dive into the shadow. And this is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace and integrate our shadows, bringing us to the light. On this episode, we are continuing to explore sex magic. But before we introduce our guest and begin, we have a short and delicious message from one of our affiliates. And by the way, messages like this make this show possible. So thank you in advance for listening.
Yeah, thank you, Heather. And I'm thrilled to just share one of the most transformative online tools that has truly supported my journey of sexual awakening and pleasure activation. Until about 4 months ago, I struggled to orgasm on my own without the help of a toy. My whole life, I felt like something was wrong with me, that I was broken, and I felt really hopeless. But that all changed when I discovered this OMG course online, OMG Yes course online, and it completely revolutionized my understanding of self-pleasure. So OMG Yes is an incredibly user-friendly and entertaining, featuring hundreds of videos and techniques in easy-to-digest modules. It covers alternative perspectives on orgasms, ways to connect with your pleasure, and techniques that you've likely never heard of before. And it interviews all sorts of women who share their experiences, making it both informative and relatable. Within just 2 weeks of starting the program, I experienced my first orgasm from my own touch. And I was like, yes! And it just has been getting better and better from there. So I can honestly say that OMGS has not only changed my ability to orgasm, but has also opened up new realms of sexual intimacy with my partner as well, which has been so incredible to experience. So I highly recommend this course to any woman who struggles with orgasming or who wants to just enhance their pleasure, whether it's with your partner or in solo practice. It's been such a game changer, and I'm sure it will be helpful for you too. So please use the link in our show notes to unlock your orgiastic potential with this OMGS course and to support the expansion of the cis society movement.
Beautiful. Thank you for that orgiastic message and congratulations. Orgasm. Self-induced. Love that. Okay, back to sex magic. And without further ado, it is my honor to introduce the magnificent powerhouse, Gina Swire. Gina is a world-renowned self-love expander. Her first book, P.S. I Love Me, 12 Steps for a Self-Love Transformation, shot straight to the top of the bestseller charts. She hosts a 5-star rated podcast called P.S. I Love Me. After struggling with self-worth and image issues, Gina quit her career as a plus-size model to embark on a journey of transformation. She spent a decade empowering women across the globe to flip the script on self-doubt and embody their most unapologetic, erotic selves. Featured in Vogue, Cosmopolitan, Psychologies, and Stylist, and interviewed on American talk shows, Gina is on a mission to empower over 1 billion women to fall deeply in love with themselves and manifest their deepest desires. She travels the world leading workshops, hosting retreats, coaching private clients, speaking on panels, TV shows, and stages from Bali Spirit Festival to Burning Man. Wow. Welcome, Gina. Such an honor to have you today.
Oh, thank you both so much for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Yes. Me too. My sacral is pulsing. I'd love to just dive right in. You have studied in Egypt. You have accumulated a lot of information around the ancient practices of witches, Isis, Osiris. And I would love to just kind of bring those ancient practices into the now and how you utilize what you've learned through that in your sex magic practices.
What a juicy first question. I agree. My whole body has been vibrating since I think the first attempt to do this call, the second attempt, the third attempt. Today, we've got the holy trifecta of us all here. So yeah, I'm so juiced up to be here. Thank you for having me. And yeah, I love talking about this subject. So I actually began with sex magic about a decade ago. And I didn't really know what I was doing. I just kind of heard about it. I've been into manifestation for 20 years. It's always done me a lot of good. My whole life has been a big manifestation. And then I heard about sex magic and I was like, this sounds like something I definitely should be doing. And just on like a really, really simple level, thinking of what's on my vision board at the point of orgasm, that for quite a few years was my sex magic practice. And then with my partner or partners, because I was poly at the time, I would be like, hey, do you want to do sex magic? And they were always such a yes. And then, yeah, the curiosity just got deeper and deeper. And in various courses from studying at ISTA, International School of Temple Arts, and going to Egypt and studying these incredible stories and wisdom, and going actually into the great temple and being called to actually do sex magic in the Grand Pyramid where we slept overnight. That was a very trippy experience. And yeah, and then just being more and more curious and finding myself in more and more situations that bring these powerful energies together. And then also getting, as I was on a boat floating past the Isis temple in Egypt, I was supposed to be listening to this talk about Egyptology, which honestly is not really my jam. I just switched off. And then I got this download. And what it is, almost, it's like a 21 stage sex magic ritual, very in depth. It takes about 3 or 4 hours. Yeah, so it kind of pulls all the knowledge that I've been learning. And it just came to me in that moment as we're passing the Isis temple, which I thought was very apt.
Yeah, of course it did. That's incredible. So yeah, I hear that you've integrated these experiences into your current practice. And we've gone into this a bit with our other guests and what their definition of sex magic is and how they currently practice it. But I would just love to hear your definition and how you utilize it. What does it mean to you?
Yeah. Well, on the most kind of simple but also exquisite level, if we are not creating a baby at the point of orgasm, so, you know, in all babies are created from ejaculation and hopefully orgasm, not definitely, but ejaculation, and that obviously has the power to create a human life, create consciousness through a woman's body. And so that is the magnitude of orgasm and of two humans coming together, excuse the pun, and bringing this magnificent life force energy in a peak moment. And if we are not using that to create a human baby, then we can use it to birth pretty much anything we want. And this really is what sex magic is. So earlier on, as I mentioned, it would have been just kind of visualizing my vision board and bringing it to mind and then letting the feeling of orgasm multiply it. And so the thing with manifestation is that across the board, all manifestation teachers talk about feeling good. If you feel good and you're in a high vibration, you're a match to having what you want. And when are we in the highest vibration and when do we feel the best is orgasm. Orgasm is the best. It's literally the best feeling in the world, I would say. So that is why manifestation is so powerful at that point. And so on a bit more of a deeper level now, and we will go into probably a practice later, which goes through step by step more. But on a deeper level, for me personally, when I'm practicing sex magic now, I am less thinking and feeling into the thing and more just letting orgasm take me into a portal of expansion and letting myself just feel all the things that I would feel from having the things on my vision board. So it could be just so supported, so provided for by God, so like healthy, every single cell just tingling, happy and free, so released, relaxed, like all of these kind of sensations, that tends to be where I go rather than a specific, I want this. Yeah, so it's much more based on the feeling. And the difference between orgasm when I'm not thinking, I'm not doing sex magic, and when I am bringing in that sex magic vibe, is night and day for me personally. So usually whenever it's in a container, in ceremony, with sex magic, bringing in all these different like goddesses and deities and creating a sacred container, then usually at the point of orgasm, I'll expand so big, it almost feels like I'm being ripped off into the universe, like completely ripped by every cell, the biggest I've ever gone, and every time it gets bigger. And then there's kind of like this rolling over into immense tears. And that's how I know. I'm like, yep, that was it. That was it right there. Yeah, so that's a little bit about my personal sex magic practice.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Yeah, I love this. Is actually, you kind of answered one of the questions I was going to ask, because something that's been coming up in my personal journey with sex magic is it feeling a bit like over ritualized and forced, and like having there be so many steps to it, which I understand the power of it. But as someone who's just beginning to work with sex magic, like I can see the potency of just simplifying the process and just really feeling into your desire through the process of orgasm, whether with yourself or with a partner or peak pleasure, right? And then just sending it out to the universe, just to really like condense it down. And I'm curious if there's a simple step-by-step kind of guide that our listeners can follow, that they can feel comfortable doing, that's not like, here's a 100 step process, like you have to check every box or else it's not going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. Well, honestly, for the first 4 years, all I was doing was visualizing my vision board. So I would, and that's great. That's so high level. That's probably like 2% of the whole population of humanity is doing sex magic in this way. You know, most people that I speak to around the world have never heard of sex magic unless they're in specific communities, you know? So it's not like, oh, I'm just doing this. It's actually magical. So I would say, before self-pleasure, before sex with a partner, before group sex, whatever you're into, just having a quick check-in and being like, do I want to practice sex magic? Yes, no. Okay, yes. Okay, what's the feeling? What's the vision? Share it with whoever's there. And then just at the point of orgasm, maybe just shout it, or just with your third eye, you know, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Actually, in some of the temple parties that I've been to, like bigger ones where there's lots of people there who are very into sex magic, it's almost like the field, it's like the field is orgasming. Like everyone's energy is rising, and it's almost like there's a point where the room feels orgasmic, and we shout planetary transformation. So that's just a really simple and profound thing, planetary transformation. And that just encompasses everything. So, you know, for what it is, that could be really helpful as well for people.
I love that, the concept of just shouting it out at the end. I'm totally going to play with that today. Just scream it from the rooftops. Yeah, planetary transformation, a banana smoothie, like whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
totally. And like
Yeah, I
through.
love things. And I love that you're just bringing it back to the feeling over the vision. I mean, I like working with the five senses too, where it's like all of the senses are coming into the vision. It's not just seeing it. However, I do think that there's so much that lies in just feeling it and letting all those details kind of fade away, especially being in our feminine bodies, that feminine emotive superpower that we have to really feel things so deeply. And I was just kind of laughing when you were sharing how your most recent orgasms through sex magic have been like explosive. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was practicing a self-pleasure practice, sex magic pleasure practice the other day. And I felt like there was an earthquake. Like I honestly was like, I just created an earthquake through my orgasm. It felt so big. And I was just like the volume of my release through my voice too. It was so loud. It just keeps getting louder as the earthquake grows. So yeah, I'm excited to feel how that continues to grow through the practice.
That's
I
so
have a question
powerful.
for you too around being in Egypt and yeah, more about what was the history of these Isis temples? Can you take us into those times? What were these women, what were these men doing? What were they using sex magic for? If you can like paint as vivid as a picture as possible to really understand where these roots came from.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because on when I was in Egypt, I was with two priestesses who have grown up in Egypt and have spent loads of time on the land, a very galactic, like Mary Magdalene priestesses. I was also with an Egyptologist, like very scientific, textbooky, debunking the myths guy. And I was also with a woman who I think is also Egyptian, and she is really on like the goddess path. And so it was such a range because there's so many ideas and stories and myths and science, and then there's like the galactic side of Egypt, and often they don't agree with each other and they kind of debunk each other. So it was really fascinating. And so to answer your question more fully, I really really resonate with the priestess path. That's why I was there. So I'm gonna go down that path. Yeah, and it's really interesting to know. Have you two been to Egypt?
Not yet. We
Not
will.
in this lifetime. Not yet. So they are super strict. So in the temples, you have to be covered up, you're not allowed to dance, you're not allowed to touch the walls. There's certain spots that the priestesses would have gone and put their womb against certain hieroglyphics, and there's certain paintings and kind of what do you call it, like carvings that are said to be the divine masculine and feminine, and if you stare at them for a certain amount of time, then you get this transmission. And there's guards watching. You're not allowed to close your eyes. You're not allowed to dance. You're not allowed to stare at things for a long time. So it's kind of weird because we were being told like this is what would have happened. This is where they came for fertility. This is where they came for magic on certain days. And we weren't really allowed to do it. However, we were with a bunch of people who are very rebellious. So they were like causing a distraction on one side, and then we're pressing our wombs on this certain scripture on the other side. And a lot of places you're not allowed to take pictures. And yeah, anyway. So yeah, as I believe it, the priestesses would have started up in Aswan. That's where we started, and then make your way down all different temples like Sekhmet, obviously Isis, Hathor, and they all have such different energies. And the Isis one is absolutely huge. And they would have gone on horses as well, apparently. And then ending up in Cairo, where the pyramids are. And in the Grand Pyramid, there is a, they call it the sarcophagus or something like that. And it's like a big box. It looks like a coffin. And it's said to be where the Leo constellation, where the, you know, the Leo constellation up in the sky, is directly above, and that's where the veil is thinnest for galactic messages. And so about a month before being in Egypt, I was also in Peru. I was in Peru on a massive medicine journey, and you know, these points are very linked. And so I'd had this huge medicine journey in Peru, and a lot of it was very galactic with a lot of light language and a lot of these priestess codes coming in. And some of it I just couldn't even comprehend. And then about a month and a half later, being in the Grand Pyramid in this coffin kind of box thing and getting the rest of the downloads of all of this like galactic information, and then doing a sex magic ritual in that. And it was absolutely like I didn't even know you could go inside a Grand Pyramid, honestly. I had no idea. I've never known anyone do that, but they were like, yeah, we're gonna go sleep in the pyramid. And so you actually enter, and then you go up this kind of diagonal steep thing that has all these wooden bars on it, and it's tiny. It's like you crawl through. And we went into the Queen's Temple, and the Queen's Chamber, I think it's called, which was so beautiful. It had this like incredibly pure energy, super high vibe. We sang and we toned and we sat our naked pussies onto the earth, and we did all these beautiful rituals. And then you carry on going up like super steep, super tiny, and we arrived in the King's Chamber, or the masculine chamber. And it was such a different energy. It was completely pitch black as well, so they turn all of the lights off, and you're right in the middle of the point, the top of the pyramid. And so at that point, I was literally like on the verge of freaking out and thinking, wow, if there's ever a time that I'm going to get beamed up, this is it. Did I tell anyone I was here? What am I doing? Is there going to be an earthquake? What if there's a fire? Like, there's definitely no fire escapes in these things. So I went through like every fear of death, everything that could be possible. And then finally like relaxed into it, had all these second part of the downloads. And then we went into this sex magic ritual, and it was so potent, so powerful, so activating. And when we left, so we were in there quite a few hours in the pitch black, everyone looked like our eyes were like a different color. We all were just kind of like in shock. We were like, what just happened? And that is the priestess path that we did.
Wow, you went through that whole priestess initiation. This is so fascinating. I need to go to, me and Heather and I will definitely be going to Egypt. I know that a lot of this is probably more internal, these codes, these transmissions. I am curious if there are any specific codes that came through that you do feel like would be helpful and supportive to share.
Yeah, so many. There was a lot around, a lot of my work has been about, you know, the feminine rising, and it's completely obvious to me, has been for a while, like we don't want to rise above the men, you know, we want to meet. And so there was so much coming through about that and what's needed. A lot of the carvings, actually, from just looking at them and the hieroglyphics, I was just getting all these ideas of what I need to do in my body of work. And actually, since Egypt, I work with men and women. I do mixed containers pretty much for everything. And before Egypt, I only really worked with women. So that was a huge code that was like, this has to be this way. This is the way we rise together. So that was super powerful. I'm trying to cast my mind back to the epicness. Yeah, there was a lot about, because I've been on the sacred sexuality path for a long time, and, you know, liberating, sharing, loving it. And I got this future kind of prediction that there was going to be massive threat on this, not just in the ways that we already know, but from the conscious communities dividing. And I got that idea when I was in Egypt, and I kind of wrote about it, talked about it. I wasn't sure exactly what it was going to be. But now I can see that, I mean, in my communities anyway, a lot of people, and actually some of the people I was there with at the time, have turned to Jesus. You know, like the not having sex before marriage, dressing modestly, going like almost completely the polar opposite to sacred sexuality. And it's so interesting because I was actually there in the pyramid with some of these friends who've done that. And last year I was living in Austin, and it's huge there. So the community is dividing. And it's almost like we've got like the sex witches and the modest Jesus, you know, preachers. And it's, yeah, so I kind of got that when I was in Egypt back then, which was, yeah, that was a bit of a premonition, I think.
Wow, that's super fascinating. What was just coming through when you were sharing was like how duality must exist, right? And when like there are more and more people that are awakening to this path of sacred sexuality, the path of the priestess, priesthood, then there needs to be the poles as well holding it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of concept of in order for consciousness to expand, there has to be opposition and resistance. And mm-hmm. like that actually causes a greater expansion on the other end. Mm-hmm. And I love the code about incorporating the masculine. Elfina and I went through a really similar process with CIS at the beginning, where we were like, we are a sisterhood society. We are welcoming only the women. And then we went to New York to do a workshop. And we didn't end up doing a workshop, but we ended up receiving a lot of codes. And that was one of them. Just this massive initiation of like, the men are needed. We need to include them in this process. And it's incredibly important to have this level of inclusivity in the work that we do. So I'm grateful to hear that you received the same code.
Yeah, we need each other. It's like perpetuating the cycle of separateness. If we just move back to the matriarchy where it's just women's empowerment, then we're just going back and forth and back and forth. The pendulum just keeps on swinging. But the way to find that equilibrium and that balance and that neutrality and that healing is through integration and collaboration. Yeah, and we can't deny the masculine outside of us when it also lives within us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I used to have this belief that, and maybe it was so earlier on in my journey with the way I facilitate, and because it was very much about self-love, which is a self-journey. And I used to have this belief that if there was a man in the room, or even if like I was teaching a retreat and there was a male chef there, that the women didn't fully open and crack as deeply or as quickly or as whatever. But now what I feel to be true is that when men are present, especially, you know, the type of men that I attract in my containers are so loving and so here for it and so present and on their journey, of course, flawed like all of us, but just willing and loving and supportive. And I actually feel that women show up with so much but men and women, they show up with so much respect, and it actually calls women forward to a higher level of deepening really quickly. Because if it's just women, they can go on a rant about how horrific men are, how horrific their husband is, how, you know, often men are all this. And if there's men there, they don't tend to do that. And I feel like it really calls them forward, if anything. And then the men really honor them. And it's a beautiful alchemy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I love this so much. And it's so present in my body right now. And I was sharing a bit before the call. I'll share a bit more now. I've had a series of Kundalini activations over the course of the last 3 years, some spontaneous, some medicine induced. But two of the most potent were activated by a masculine being in my direct field. And part of the message that I received is that it's a divine activation. When you're around a masculine that you feel safe with, it activates anything that like hasn't been cleared, cleaned, any wounds to be healed, to be moved through together. And it just happened this past week. And it was like, when he was in the room with me, my whole body was activated. My Kundalini was incredibly alive. Life force energy turned all the way up. And when he would leave the room, it would soften. And the message was just like, do you see, like, do you understand like how we need the men to heal the planet? And I was like, yes, I completely understand. I feel it in my body. And I'm just wondering, like circling back to sex magic, through this conversation, if you feel the most potent sex magic practices are done between an identifying masculine and feminine energy, and like what the difference is between like sitting with yourself, like is it more potent to do it with someone else?
Well, firstly, I just want to say I was getting full body goose pimples when you were talking about that then, just like, woof, woof, woof. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
I also want to just ask too in that question, like, how does sex magic look for, you know, a couple who resonate, who are maybe a homosexual couple or a couple who resonates with, I just really want to be inclusive and not make people feel left out if they're the same gender or they resonate with a different gender identity. How does that look for everyone, anyone practicing?
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for adding that. Okay, so in my experience, I've had some of the most powerful sex magic. I've had powerful sex magic rituals in every way, by myself in nature, by myself like in some hotel room in the middle of nowhere with hardly any magical objects. I've had incredible sex magic rituals with sisters where we're self-pleasuring together. I've had incredible sex magic rituals with partners that I'm really deep in love with. And I've also had incredible sex magic rituals in temple with a stranger where we've just been sat opposite each other energetically. Or even at Burning Man, I've had a sex magic ritual with 300 people on the playa. Multiple different ways. And honestly, for me, there's no clear winner. They're all just so different and magical and potent. And yeah, I just think it can never be replicated again. It is just a point in time that is so magical, and they all activate slightly different. And I think there's no right and wrong to do it, honestly. I mean, if you want to keep it really simple, then just knowing that you can't get it wrong, do what feels good, let yourself feel really good, and just blast it out to the universe, you know, that we want everyone to feel good. And then if you want to get a bit more complex, and personally, I'm not like mad into like neo polarity teaching stuff. Lived in Bali for long enough, and I honestly find a lot of the newer polarity teachings such a head fuck and not really rooted in, Yeah, just like the most grounded place. And so, yeah, I mean, if you want to sit with a partner and one of you embody the masculine pole and one of you embody the feminine pole and maybe get that microcosmic orbit going with breath, and, you know, that is a beautiful practice to do, but it's definitely not, it's not necessary. It's not like the only way to do it. What do you ladies think? What's your most powerful?
I mean, what was coming through this is like the creative force that makes a child is the most powerful force. That's just what was coming through my channel. I'm not saying it's like the universal truth. It's just like something that's come up for me, and I'm looking forward to exploring it. Like as I enter into more divine union activations in my life. But it's like what ultimately creates life, right? And that is like the penis, vagina, wombs, or, you know, sperm, et cetera. We don't have to go into the logistics of it. yeah, I'm curious what you think, Elfina.
Yeah, I've just been starting to practice sex magic recently as well. And for me, I just started practicing it with my partner. It's mostly been a self-pleasure practice. And yeah, I've experienced the most magic just through the practice with myself. So far. So yeah, I feel like just intuitively, what I'm realizing about this is that it doesn't necessarily need to be a penis and a vagina or a male and a female. I think it's more about just polarizing one another wherever you're at. And we're naturally always polarizing anyway. And if you can intentionally polarize, like my partner and I really like to switch. We like to take turns. One person being more of the initiator. I kind of want to get away from these terms, masculine and feminine, because I feel like they limit us to a male body and a female body. I like to use terms, I'm trying to use terms more around like the initiator and the receiver, or yin and yang, or just playing with the polarities and being able to go back and forth, because I don't always want to be in my feminine role. I don't always want to be the receiver. Sometimes I want to have that spirit cock, and I want to give, and I want to penetrate, you know? And I think that we need to normalize that more. I think it's actually really important that we can be all of it. And there's so much power that we feel in the penetration, and there's so much softness and surrender to allow a man to really feel in his receiver too. So that's kind of how I feel around that in general. And to bring this conversation back to you, Gina, I have a question. We talked about this a little bit on our private call the other day, but I'd love to hear a couple of the craziest things that you've manifested through your sex magic practices.
Okay. Sorry, just a question before that. Like, did you only have to sit in the practice once, or did you have to do it multiple times in order to manifest those things?
Okay, got it. Yeah. Well, Elfina, I love the switch life. I'm such a switch as well. Like dom, sub, switch it over all a million times, you know, and whatever's the most organic and brings the most awakening, I will be in, you know. So
yeah, and maybe we're both just shaking together, and we're not even polarizing each other. We're just finding unity. And that's so like that. It's also so passionate and alive. It can be all of it.
Yeah. And I also wanted to add here for anyone listening, you can use sex magic through dance. You can do sex magic energetically. You can do sex magic with your clothes on, without touching yourself, without touching anyone else. You can move energy through your body and blast it very innocently. You know, it doesn't have to be like a full on orgy, and it doesn't have to be anything. It can be just very simple, using that life force energy with your clothes on. Even just a shaking ritual and moving that energy up through your body can be really powerful as well. I've done this in a room with like maybe 200 women that were very new, And it was all clothes on through dance, like a PG version of sex magic, but it was incredibly potent still, you know? So I just wanted to add that as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the question, what are some of the things that I've manifested? Oh my goodness. Such a good question. Let's see. One of the things, so in the lockdown, that was actually when I became multi-orgasmic. Before that, Elfina, as you were saying before, I wasn't very orgasmic. Like, if everything aligned and, you know, I had the right toy or the right this, or I really felt so safe with someone, then I would probably have an orgasm, one. But then in the lockdown, I'd been studying this for quite a while. I'd been studying Womb Awakening, which ironically is one of the books that my laptop is sat on top of right now, and Multi-Orgasmic Woman, and lots of different books and lots of different courses, and having a daily self-pleasure practice. So my multi-orgasmic journey, which correlates to my multi-millionaire journey, same time, both activated at the same time. That was on my own. It was solo to start with. And in that time, I got very clearly the energy of my beloved. And so I was every day kind of like making love with my beloved every single day through sex magic on my own. And so that was an everyday practice because I was doing it every day. And pretty much the minute lockdown opened up, who should turn up at my door but my previous partner that I thought was not going to be my beloved. But then he showed up at my door, and immediately I was like, oh, that is that energy, you know? And it was very, very clear. And we've had a beautiful 20-year relationship. And so that was one of my biggest manifestations, honestly, because we have awakened so much together and we've practiced so much sex magic together. And his body and life force is one of the biggest reasons why I'm so sexually liberated now, and why I'm the woman I am sexually now. So that was probably one of my biggest manifestations. And then in other news, random things. So sometimes when I'm with women, or if I'm on a retreat, I might just have a download that I want to manifest something. So one of the best ones was, I was teaching a retreat in Bali, and we'd done a ritual around what we're calling in, and mine was that I wanted to have a bigger impact on bigger stages where I could speak to more kind of mainstream people about my mission and the mission. And I was like, yeah, I want to be on TV. I want to be on mainstream TV. And so I hadn't even put this on my vision board yet, but at the end of the ritual, I'd got a message from a woman who had asked me, could I be in LA in like 10 days to be interviewed on a talk show? So I was like, whoa, okay. So I screenshotted a picture of a talk show, an American talk show. I didn't really know exactly what it was. I was just like, screenshot, put it on my vision board. And so 10 days later, I was in LA and I was getting ready for this talk show. And as I walked into the studio, which is in Beverly Hills, and I'm from a little town in the north of England, right? So I was driving through Beverly Hills and I was just like, I manifested this with my pussy. I'm just like a girl from England, and here I am about to go on TV. Anyway, so I walked in and they were filming a different show. So I was just like half an hour early, and I was so on a vibe, on this like vibe of like anything is, literally anything is possible. This was so easy. I did pretty much nothing apart from like orgasm on it. I walked in and immediately the presenter looked over. And anyway, so we ended up having a conversation and he's like, who are you? Like, what are you doing here? I was like, oh, I'm filming this show in like half an hour. And he's like, I was presenting then and I felt your energy before you even entered the door. And I was like, who's just entered? And he's like, I need to know who you are. And I was like, well, I'm going to be on this show. I just was in Bali and I was thinking about this thing and here I am. And he's like, I need to get you on my show. So I got booked for a second talk show and it happened to be the one that I'd put on my vision board.
Ooh.
Wow.
So it was kind of like a knock-on effect. This Bali orgasmic meditation, then the message, then arriving in LA, then getting asked to do the other show, and it going out to double, basically. So
oh my God.
That was a good one.
We're sitting on gold mines. I acknowledge you. Like, I acknowledge you for that manifestation. That really activated my pussy in the moment. I was like, yes, girl, yes.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Thanks for sharing. That inspires me to do more sex magic. Yes. And anything is possible. Don't hold back. Don't limit yourself of what is possible.
Exactly. Yeah, that was coming through before. It's like this key element in my sex magic journey has been unapologetically acknowledging my desires. Even if I formally shamed them or repressed them or resisted them, it's like speaking it out loud, writing it down in a journal, and just like not having any shame or fear about it and being like, hey, pretend like maybe our desires are actually just seeds that are planted in us and we're just meant to love them and to witness them and not like suppress or remove any pieces of them. And that feels like a really key element or an important thing to speak into.
And
you said like, oh, I want to be on this talk show. It's like, I've had those thoughts of different things, but I've like been like, oh, but I'm not there yet. Or I'm not ready. Or, oh, you think you can do this? Oh, you think you can sing on a stage in front of a million people, you know, and then the egoic voice comes in. And so I've really been doing that work right now to just be like, no, I'm going to like speak this and I'm going to feel pleasure when I speak it and I'm going to own it. And then it's going to happen.
Mm.
And that's it. Like, there is nothing else.
I expect miracles. That's my new mantra. I expect miracles, of course. There's no other way than the miraculous way of living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also with, I love that. I love both of those ideas. And it's also worth mentioning that once we have got these unapologetic desires, visions, and we felt it through the body in sex magic as done, it is done. It's if you're having that desire, I honestly believe that if you're having a desire, it's because it's already done in the future. You know, it's quite a common thing to say in manifestation. So it's not like desire, it's not, when I first started manifesting, I used to think, oh, you know, I just want this. And so I put it on my vision board and I thought it was me wanting something in the future. But what I actually realized through plant medicine, I will put my hands up and say thank you to plant medicine, because plant medicine showed me, it's not just me now wanting something in the future. It's my future self telling me now in the past. Yes. So I got this term from the sacred plant teachers, which is remembering the future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally remembering the future. So it's not like I just want this thing in the future. It's that would be getting it completely wrong. It's that the future version of me wants me to know it now.
Yes.
And so once we felt this through our body, through our system, especially through sex magic, we already know what it feels like. We've already had it. We've had it. We have it. You know, it was the best thing ever. We've already told our friends like, oh my God, this thing happened. Like, wow. And so when it actually comes in, yes, we're very pleased, but we're not shocked. It's not like, oh my God, I'm going to be on an American TV show talking to like millions of people. No, it's just like, yeah.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, this
has been happening a lot recently, where these things that I've been desiring so badly are showing up, and I expected myself to feel a lot more excited, and I almost question, I'm like, am I fully appreciating that? And I am, but it just feels so natural. It's like, this is how it's always been. Of course it's happening in the way that I dreamed of, plus more than I could have dreamed of. Of course it is. Like, it just feels so natural.
Yeah. You're meeting what you already know. Yeah, this came through recently for me, that a desire is a premonition of the future.
Yeah, that's like
that's coming through so clearly. A desire is the premonition of the future. It's already done. It's already happened. And we're just tapping into it as these multidimensional beings, you know, everything everywhere all at once. And then when it happens, we're just meeting it. And we're like, hey, oh, hey, you. Hey, old friend. Nice to see you again.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. And also just with like, I believe that anybody like who would like to make $1 million, pounds, euros, like most people I know in my field are on the millionaire path if they're not already a millionaire. And I always say to my clients, or, you know, this could also be interchangeable for multi-orgasmic as well. I honestly believe those energies are pretty much the same. If you are listening now and you're like, I want to be multi-orgasmic, I want to have multi-millions in my bank, then know that if you're having that desire, it's because you're tapping into this future self, like we just said. And also, we can collapse timelines, because I knew I was going to be a millionaire in this life, this lifetime. I just know that I know that I know that I know that I know I'm going to be, you know, I was going to be a millionaire. There was no doubting that. But I did think it would be like when I was 50 or when I was 60, or, you know. And then I learned from a mentor of mine, no, like, if you're already calibrated to make 100,000 in 1 year, then you already know how to make 100,000. You just get to collapse the time. So collapse it to a month, collapse it to a week, collapse it to a day, collapse it to a minute, collapse it to a second, you know? And I started to practice with these concepts. And this is how I became multi-orgasmic as well. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to do that in my lifetime, well, I started practicing with £50,000, right? I was already making, let's say, 30, 40, 50,000 in a month anyway through my business. And I decided that 1 month I was going to practice manifesting an extra £50,000 in a month. And so I did the practice, which was basically getting into a really high vibration, noticing which parts of you is saying no to this, writing that down, doing any rituals, anything I needed to get out of my own way, and then getting into the frequency of the having of it, and then just completely forgetting about it, going about my life in this high vibration and letting God give me the exact download for how this is going to come in. And so I was on the Stairmaster the next day, as you do at the gym, but like stair portal, stairway to heaven. And I just got this download. It was like, oh, I was going to be launching something later on in the year. It was like, open it now, with these specific bonuses as like a, you know, start early kind of course. And I was like, okay, cool, I'll do that. It was like, do it through a WhatsApp group. It's going to be so easy. Literally just invite people to a WhatsApp group that are interested. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to manifest an extra 50K in a month. And then when I did it, I literally made it in a day. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, I collapsed the time on it. And what I was trying to do in a month literally happened all in one day. And I was like, okay, yeah, this works. I'm here for it.
Yes. I love that idea so much. Collapsing time.
Yeah. So to completely close off on that, if you want to be a millionaire, if you want to be a multimillionaire, if you want to make 100 million, if you want to become multi-orgasmic, and you know that's a desire in this lifetime, then how can you collapse the time? You know, how can you open to God for the exact people you need to speak to, practices you need to receive, books, podcasts, whatever. Maybe this is it right now, by the way. Spoiler alert. And yeah, how can you just open to receive exactly what you need to do that in a much smaller amount of time?
And do you see, this is epic, first of all, and it's so nice to just see a real world example of what's possible, like sitting before us. Like, for those of you listening, she's done it. It's possible. Like, you can do it too. And the thing that's coming through is like, is one of the key elements in this process, just declaring it in a shorter amount of time. Because I feel like, you know, like the concept of a New Year's resolution, which I think is bullshit. It's like what I want to accomplish over the course of the next year, you know, and there's no specificity in it to moving to a place of saying, okay, I want to manifest $100,000 in the next week. Like, I'm ready. Like, my channel is open to receive what I need to do in order to make that happen. Let's go. I just got full body chills on that, by the way. So evidently that's what I'm working on this week. Great.
Yes. Let me know when it comes in.
We'll have a celebration ceremony.
Exactly. And the key piece is when you, so I'm actually doing it myself at the minute because I have this kind of goal, which I'm not going to share fully, but it's big. And in my head, I was like, okay, 6 months, I can totally do this in 6 months. And then I just got this like, boom, I was like, what are you on about? Like, you can easily smash this by the end of the year. Like, let's have it, you know, and immediately took 2 months off it. And that hasn't come in yet. But the frequency that I need to get in to know that I'm way more powerful than I think I am, or, you know, when I've forgotten these powerhouse moves. And then as soon as I get into that, I'm like, I could do that in a day if I really like sat with this. So the key thing is to sit with it when you have these big desires and you want to collapse the time. And really, it's almost like a car, because you've got your foot on the gas, which is like, let's fucking go, universe, like, show me. And then often there's like a bit on the brake of like, but it's not, it happens for her on this podcast, but maybe it's not going to happen for me, or it's never happened before, or, you know, all the shit that comes up. And it's really important. I like to just write all of that out and get to the core of what is stopping me. And ultimately it's unworthiness every single time. It's like, there's a part of me that doesn't feel worthy of this upgrade. And so, yeah. And then do what needs to be done to get around it, whether it's telling a friend, telling a mentor, doing a burning ritual, lying in the sand at the beach, you know, whatever works for you, get beyond it. And if you can't do it for yourself, which, you know, sometimes it's like the unworthiness is around ourselves. Who can you do it for? Can you do it for your future children? Can you do it for your family? Can you do it for your community? Can you do it for humanity? Can you do it for the ancestors in your female lineage that didn't have this opportunity and safety to do this? And all of a sudden it's like, boom, okay, let's go.
That just hits such an emotional point, which is just so important in this ceremony, in this process, is emotion, right? Feeling. And I'm so grateful for you. You're doing some badass work, babe. You're doing it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like looking around my yard I live in the jungle, and I'm like, okay, where am I gonna go with a blanket? And go do a money, sex, magic ritual after this call.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready. Let's go.
I honestly believe, like, money, and it's so interesting. Like I said, like, my sisterhood is divided right now into, like, a lot of people that are really going into this Jesus thing, and that money, Satan, the enemy, sex, womb wisdom, all this is, like, and it's been such a head fuck, honestly, but my truth is that money and sex is literally God. And together, those two energies supercharge everything. And like women or all people being incredibly well paid. And so you can be satiated and overflowing and give the God-given gifts, like, just makes so much sense. And also these two energies, I've spoken a bit about how I honestly believe it's the same thing. And the piece there that I haven't mentioned is that for us to change our energetic minimum enough to hold millions, we have to get really good at holding more wealth, wisdom, you know, overflow. Like, we have to expand so much to receive, right? And that is the exact same thing for orgasm. You know, when we're learning in our orgasmic journey, it's like the tiniest bit of pleasure, and it's like, okay, boom, you know, that's enough. And the path to becoming multi-orgasmic is riding that and letting it multiply and deepen and get richer in the body. And just like the pleasure potential has to get so much bigger to be multi-orgasmic, right? And it's the same thing. So we can really use those two energies together. So why work on one when join them, you know, let them multiply together. That's what I like with money and sex.
I love that perspective so much. And I often say that money is love. And I get a lot of flack back about this. Like, people really resist. I'm like, hey, like, I hear you differ in it, but like, it's love. It's all the same frequency. It's all the same energy, like abundance, God, sex, money, all the same. And I think it's really helpful for me to know that. And I hear it is for you, because then you're not like compartmentalizing and moving things around. You're just working with one main source energy. And it's so much easier that way. Okay. We're about to wrap soon, but this conversation has been really activating. I've been feeling so much come up in my body and in my spirit, and I'm so grateful for it. Mm-hmm. And before we wrap, I wanted to know if there was anything that you felt called to share with our listeners that's coming through your divine channel.
Let's see. Okay. So let's see. I may have already shared a little piece of this with you, Heather, back when we first met. And the concept that just came to me then is that personally, I feel like money is a neutral energy. And, you know, like anything, we can project what we want onto it. So a lot of people project evil. A lot of people project like great, the best thing ever. A lot of people project that it's a masculine energy or a feminine energy. And one of the things that I really love to play with money is, because I'm a kinkster and I teach a lot about kink activations, is about dom sub dynamics. And so this came to me one day. Actually, it was right before I met you, so maybe that's where I'm getting this, because I haven't actually spoke about this for a while. But one day I was doing a ritual with money where I'd created a gorgeous money altar with all my feng shui out items, like my money plant and my different money affirmations and cards and all beautiful, abundant things in a nice, you know, altar. And I was sat at the altar, and at that time, I was very like, money, I want this much per month, and I want you to show up like this on this time. And as soon as I dropped in with money, so I had a notebook, and I basically was talking to money, right? And money told me that I'd been dominating money and trying to make money my little sub. And what money wanted from me was for me to submit. And I'm switch lifestyle, you know. So I was like, oh, okay. And so I was like, okay, well, what does that even look like? And I do find that a lot of people, when I teach this as a workshop, it's quite polarizing. You know, some people are just like, I don't even think about money. Money just finds its way to me. And then some people are very goal orientated and like dominating, right? So it's good to switch and see how that feels to almost project the opposite onto money. So for me, what this looked like is kneeling at my money altar every day, submitting to money and letting money dom me and letting money provide for me and protect me and hold me and tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. So this was a total energy shift from me telling money what to do, you know, doming money. And it was so expansive. That was actually, yeah, like after that, that was my big money growth period. So I'm glad it's coming through. It's a good reminder for me as well. So yeah, I want to leave people with switch lifestyle. Notice, are you more dominating or submissive with money? Switch it over and see what wants to come through. What does money want you to do today?
It's such a hot practice. I'm so happy that this came through because at the beginning of the call, I wanted to bring it up and then I released it. So potential manifestation. But this is how Gina and I met. I think it was at a Sophia Code activation circle with women. And Gina was guiding one through this process of connecting to the energetics of money and kind of allowing it to take physical shape and form in whatever way that was. And if I may share, this experience was super hot and like really began my journey with falling in love with money and allowing money to dominate me. But anyway, in the midst of this guided practice that you brought us through, my eyes were closed and you were like, okay, like conjure money, bring money, you know, like just allow it to take physical shape and form. And all of a sudden there was a woman, like this beautiful woman standing in front of me, just like staring at me dead in the eyes. And then at that point I was like, oh, she's hot. And then you were like, okay, now we're going to begin this process of having a telepathic kind of conversation with money and see what comes through. So I was like, money, like, why are you here? And she looks at me like she doesn't blink. And she's like, I've wanted you. Like, I've wanted you before there was time. When will you let me have you? And then I was like, ooh, still get full body chills on it because it was such a powerful connection. And then the next thing she said, which is super sexy, was like, I want to come inside of you. Like, when will you let me come inside of you? And I was like, oh, she wants me. Like, money wants me. And it was such a clear transmission. And I just wanted to thank you for that. And I'm so glad that you shared it today with those that are listening. Like, it's a powerful practice. It's so incredibly powerful.
Oh, I love that. I didn't know that, but that's so hot. Yes, she wants to come to you.
She does.
I feel so inspired to bow down to money now. I feel like I've definitely been more in that dom role of like, these are the rituals and these are the manifestations and these are specifics. And I'm just like, that doesn't feel good in my body right now. That just feels like another thing to add to my to-do list. And everything is just softening, as you're saying, no, just submit. And I think that what I'm realizing is this, though, this also relates to my sex life. This also relates to my orgasms. This also relates to everything else. It's just, okay, let's switch it up a little bit. We can always go back to that role too, but being in one role for too long, you know, you can meet resistance. And so bringing it back to that switching it up has been such an amazing code to just drop everyone in at the end. And I'm really, really grateful for this conversation, for this transmission, for your divinity, for this just beautiful container. And I feel really hopeful that the millions of dollars is going to be coming around very soon.
Yeah.
And like easier and more fun and more aligned with my truth and my feminine nature than I could have imagined, like easier than we've been prescribed to believe it has to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're ready to submit.
I'm such a good submitter. Yeah.
Yeah, you
good
are.
I almost want to like do like a BDSM bondage with money, like somehow get like tied up with money.
Yeah.
That'd be really hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like put the money around the rope or something and then use that money rope to do shibari.
Self pleasure on money. Like underneath you and on top of you and like lick it.
Yeah, I heard Layla Martin like sharing this ritual she did where she just had a crazy sex magic on top of a bed of gold. I was like, yes, goals. Yeah. So yeah, thank you so much, Gina. It's been such a treat. And I feel like you're a sister of ours now, and I'm just so grateful for you.
1,000,000%. I definitely want to hang out with you both in person, IRL.
Yes.
100%. That's happening. Absolutely. And yeah, just to go off of what Alfina said again, like, thank you for being here and joining us today and sharing your essence and your energy and your codes and ultimately your power, because like that power is the very power that walks everyone else back to their own remembering. So yeah, you're a true gift. And yeah, to wrap up the wrap. I'm curious what you have going on in your professional world and how people can tap into that, connect with you, work with you, manifest $1,000,000, manifest the love of their life, whatever they're into and kinky for. How can they find you?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you both so much for creating such a fun, powerful, safe space for people to expand and for having me on. It's been so fun getting to jam with you both, you powerhouse women, just so liberated and so glowing and radiant. And I really see you and appreciate you. And the questions were just like, oh, she just made life so easy. So for anyone listening, you can find me at Gina Swire, GINASWIRE, everywhere, GinaSwire.com. You can send me an email if you want, Gina@GinaSwire.com, Gina Swire on Instagram. And I have a new program starting, which is called Expanded AF. And so it's a 12-month journey, and it will expand you in all the ways, and it will be, everybody in it is an expander in their own right. So it's going to be a major collaboration. We'll definitely be diving into the energies of money and the energies of orgasm, because of course they're the juicy ones, and many other places where we'll be expanding, you know, with mission and with vision and with relationships and with God and all the juicy things in between. So that is starting in September, so soon. And what else have I got going on? I've got a mini deep dive that's called Masterpiece that's open at the moment right now, which is a 3-day deep dive into like a holistic look at life. So it's like a mini version. And yeah, there's always fun things coming up. And I also DJ. So I DJ these erotic temple nights. My name is DJ G-Spot. And DJ so, G-Spot. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been DJing at some like kinky love temples and this kind of thing. So that's my jam. Ecstatic dance. I'm very on the erotic side for ecstatic dance, but it can work. So.
We would love to have you come out to the Big Island, Hawaii. This is like the birthplace of ecstatic dance, and everyone here would be totally down for the erotic dance. Yes.
I am 100% in. Invite me. I'm there.
Okay, I'll create the connections.
We'll have to organize another naked sensual tea party. We can have you DJ that, Gina. They're epic.
Yes. Oh my God. It's my new favorite fun thing to do.
It's important to have creative outlets that like bring us out of the head and just into that joy and pleasure and play.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you again, Gina, and we'll link everything in the show notes as well, all the ways to connect with Gina.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been a scrumptious conversation. And I hope we're leaving you with the sense that your desires are possible, that what you want, it you're worthy of it, and you can get it. It is possible. And if you want to deepen that work, like absolutely reach out to Gina. Like she will get you there. And yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And please don't miss a single second of these conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to look for Cis Society Taboo Talks. And if this conversation resonated, please, please, please share these important conversations. They really mean a lot and they allow us to continue to do what we do. And if you're interested in joining the conversation, you can send us a message on our Instagram at Cis Society World to be added to our private WhatsApp community where your important voice gets to be heard. And in the meantime, stay sensual, stay curious, and remember the only thing taboo is not talking about it. See you all next time.